and reading Deuteronomy chapter number 13, verse number 4 tonight. And then also we're going to turn over to the New Testament. We're going to read Matthew chapter 4 and verse number 10. I got me a new Bible here, and it doesn't want to stay open real well. All right, Deuteronomy chapter number 13, verse number 4. Praise the Lord, and everybody's already standing just waiting on me to say something about this. And you've got it up there in front of your eyes. Has everybody found it? Praise the Lord. Some are still looking. Some have left the room, so they don't have it yet. But praise be to the Lord God. We're going to move on anyway. They'll just have to play catch up. Deuteronomy chapter number 13, verse number 4. You shall walk after the Lord your God, and fear him, and keep his commandments, and obey his voice, and ye shall serve him, and cleave unto him. Then Matthew chapter number 4 and verse number 10. Matthew chapter 4, verse number 10. Then saith Jesus unto him, get thee hence, Satan. Catch that. Use that often. Get thee hence, Satan, for it is written. Can we say that together? For it is written. There's your power, child of God. For it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Wow. I'm going to read that one again. Then saith Jesus unto him, get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Father in heaven, we praise you for your holy word, and we thank you for the power that is therein. And we thank you, Lord, that we have power over the enemy of our soul, through Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. I pray, Lord God, let your anointing rest upon us tonight as we share this message with your people, Lord, that we might grow thereby. In Jesus' mighty name we ask, amen and amen. You may be seated again tonight. Did you notice the resemblance of Matthew chapter number 4, verse number 10, and Deuteronomy 13, verse number 4? Did you notice that the Old Testament recommendation, if I can put it like that, from the ministers of God was to fear God, keep his commandments. I like what it says there, and obey his voice, and ye shall serve him and cleave unto him. That means you're not going to let go. How many remember when Jacob wrestled with the angel at Peniel, the Old Testament? Scared to death Esau was going to kill him, Jacob wrestled with the Lord until he knew God had heard, until he knew he had heard from God. Mm-hmm. Praise our God. Wow, I could preach right there for an hour. I really could. Hallelujah. Hearing from God. But notice, obey his voice. That speaks of hearing. Keep his commandments, that speaks of knowledge that I know. And then obey his voice speaks of a daily walk with God. And ye shall serve him. That's where I want to deal here tonight. And I simply want to preach on serving who? Serving
Who? Who are you serving tonight? Who are you going to serve tomorrow? Who have you been serving? Serving who? Now that word serving is pretty simple, really, the definition thereof. Working for, acting in subordination to, yielding obedience to, worshiping, also performing duties as serving in an army. Now we use that illustration quite often about being in the army of the Lord. And Brother Jason just shared about somebody just shared about enduring hardness as a good soldier when you have so many services. We had encounter night on Tuesday night, Sunday night preach. I preach on Sunday morning. Praise the Lord. Now I'm preaching again tonight. We've got so many. Sometimes you lose track of who said it, but you remember it was said, and that's a good thing. Not so much who said it, but that it was said and it got a hold of you. Amen. An army, a soldier serving God, serving the Lord. Hallelujah. You notice that it was the power that sent Satan on the run. Amen. That brought victory over the lies of the enemy and the temptation of the enemy in Jesus Christ's life. And he began to quote Scripture. That just reminds me of Brother Goodwin. Hallelujah. Quoting Scripture. Hallelujah. You, man, if you really want strength and if you really want courage, you need to know Scripture. And you need to know the ones that will bring courage in your heart, strength in your heart, allegiance to God, subordination to God. Hallelujah. And not just, Lord, help me out of this mess I got myself in. Praise God. Serving who? In Matthew chapter 6, and I'm going to try to run through these several scriptures here tonight kind of rapidly. I'm not going to try to hold this long. I realize midweek service, I'm tired. If I'm tired, surely you're tired too. I'm tired. But, you know, I'm glad I'm in the house of the Lord. And the presence of my God is what's strengthening me and encouraging my heart. So in Matthew chapter 6, verse number 24, it says, "Now no man can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon." And mammon is just the reality of the ways of the world, the riches of the world, the fashions of the world, the pleasures of the world. In other words, so the Bible plainly lets us know you can't serve God and the world. Serving who? Joshua 22, verse number 5. "But take diligent heed to do the commandment and the law which Moses, the servant of the Lord, charged you, to love the Lord your God, and to walk in all of his ways, and to keep his commandments, and to cleave unto him, and serve him with all your heart, with all your soul." This is reverbing off Deuteronomy chapter 13, verse number 4. This is Joshua has come into power. Joshua is now the servant of the Lord. Joshua is now the leader of the people. And he says the exact same thing Moses did. That's a good thing. Praise God. Hallelujah. Because he's charging them and reminding them. And he says, take diligence. Whoa. School students know what that means. Diligent. Wow. Diligent. Take diligent heed. That means slap yourself in the face if you ain't paying attention. Diligent heed. Listening and knowing the commandments and the law and everything God's already spoke to us and cleaved. There's that terminology again. In other words, put your affections on God. Put your longing on God. Put your love on God. Hallelujah. And love the Lord with all your heart, with all your soul. This is the very thing that is going to keep you and I victorious in our Christian life. It's when we allow other things to pull us away from our love for God. When we start loving other things more than we love God. It could be anything. Anything can become an idol, even if it's not sin. It can. Because it takes more time, more affection, more longing than you have for God. Woo! Serving who? Serving who? Romans 12:1, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. How many's heard that scripture before? How many's ever memorized that scripture? How many take that scripture serious? Or is it just one of those famous ones we love to quote because it sounds so good? We preach it because it, man, it's like, whoa, yeah, this is it. Serving who? Woo. How am I going to know? How am I going to renew my mind? Can we pull it out, scrub it down, put it back in? Hopefully it'll be clean now. It don't work that way, does it? How do I clean my mind? How do I rearrange my thinking? Woo. Well, it goes all the way back to Matthew 10, or chapter 4 and 10. It is written. Amen. To renew my mind, to be transformed, is when I listen and obey the voice of my God. Here's my next question. Has God talked to you? Grant, has God talked to you? Isaac, has God talked to you? Titus, has God talked to you? He sure does, doesn't he? God talks to us. Then here's the next question. Do you listen to him? Now, I'll throw this in here. Does Brother Pepper talk to you? But do you listen to him? Hello. Praise our God. So God talks to us, doesn't he? Oh, my. But the only way it's going to transform my life and renew my mind is if I listen to what God is saying unto me with the desire, the attitude, Lord, I am serving you and only you am I serving. Hallelujah. I will not serve another. I will not serve myself. That's the war. Woo. Romans 12, verse number 9. Let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil. That means you want nothing to do with it. You hate it. You detest it. Cleave to that which is good. Praise God. Glory. Here's his word. Cleave to it. Hang on to it. Read it. Memorize it. Meditate upon it. Hallelujah. Listen to it while you're going to sleep. Get it in your heart, get it in your mind, that you might not sin against God. Woo, praise God. Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love, in honor preferring one another, not slothful in business, fervent in spirit. Notice really this serving the Lord. In other words, if I'm slothful in business, I'm not serving the Lord. If I'm not fervent in spirit, what's that mean? I'm keeping my mind on the right things. Fervent in spirit. Because that's what it is to serve the Lord. Amen. Rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer. Praise God. Serving who? Serving who? And of course, Joshua 24:15. Of course, no one would say that they would think that it was evil to serve the Lord, but actions speak louder than words many times. Joshua 24:15, and if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the God of the Amorites, in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Serving who? Choice. The gods on the other side of the flood, speaking of any of the number of gods they've encountered, the gods of Egypt, the gods of all the heathen around them, the God of the Amorites. See, you got to realize, you kind of got to understand that all these false gods, they all appeal to certain parts of the flesh. Amen. So it's kind of like Christianity nowadays. Whatever flavor you want, you can find. Whatever part of the flesh you like to live for, you can find a church that says it's okay. You just have to look around. You'll find one. And you'll find a bunch of them say, it's all okay. It doesn't make any difference how you live, what you do. God loves everybody. Come on in here and let's enjoy God. And then they have lying spirits, seducing devils, and all kinds of things going on right in their sanctuary. Whoa. Yeah, there's all kinds of false gods out there. All kinds of idols out there. All kinds of masters out there. Yeah. Whatever you can't overcome, it's your master. It's the master. I've had so many different encounters with people say, well, I don't serve anybody. I'm my own man. Yeah. That means your master's the devil. Because your master's not Jesus. And your master's the devil. Woo. John 12:26. If any man serve me, let him follow me. Where I am, there shall also my servant be. And if any man serve me, him will my Father honor. So here we're moving into the promises of being a servant of the Lord. Promises of serving God. That God will be there and God will honor. What's he going to honor? He's going to honor your prayers. He's going to honor your works. He's going to honor whatever you lay your hand to. He will bless it. Why? Because you're doing it as unto the Lord. Praise God. Ephesians 6:5, servants, be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling and singleness of heart as unto Christ, not with eye service as men pleasers, but as servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, with good will doing service as to the Lord, not to men, knowing that whatsoever good thing any man doeth, the same shall he receive of the Lord, whether he be bond or free. What is eye service? Simple illustration. You know it's a long ways from our fellowship hall over to the schoolroom. And in our school rooms, there is two doors, actually three doors. One coming into the office, then one going into the lower level, and one going into the upper level. Eye service is when I step around that corner of where those two doors are open after lunch, and everybody goes, sits down, like they had been good all the time. They think it's so funny, and I think it's hilarious. Because I know not a one of them is good all the time. But I think it's neat, because all I have to do is step around that corner and let my tennis shoes squeak. And there he is. That's eye service. You weren't in there doing what you knew you were supposed to be doing. That's sitting in your chair, being quiet, and doing your work. Because the bell had rung, because it rings on my phone, and we leave the gymnasium, and that's your cue. School's in. Woo. So that's a good definition of eye service. I'm not trying to be mean to you or cruel to you. I just want you to understand what you're doing. Colossians 3:24. Knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance. Praise God. For ye serve the Lord Christ. Serving who? Do you want to go to heaven? Do you want the inheritance of Christ? Then you're going to have to serve him. You're going to have to serve him. Now, what is serving? Working for him. Being in subordination to him. Submission to him. Yielding obedience to him. Listening to his voice when he speaks to him. Worshiping him. And performing any duties that the commander would have you do. That's serving the Lord Christ. Hallelujah. Serving who? Serving who? But he that doeth wrong shall receive for the wrong that he hath done, and there is no respect of persons. Woo. You see, it's just plain and simple. It all depends on who you are serving, to whether heaven will be your home or hell will be your final destination. Serving who? And I've got one gentleman that I want to make reference to in closing here tonight. In Pilgrim's Progress, Pilgrim encountered all kinds of individuals on his journey. He encountered some that were very, very helpful. Some that encouraged him, and some that built his faith. But he encountered some of them that were just really diabolical to his making heaven his home. And then he encountered some who were not against him, but presumed like they were for him and on the same journey. And this one individual that I want to talk about here and share who he was and what he did, his name was Ignatius. Don't raise your hand. His name was Ignatius. How many remember Ignatius in Pilgrim's Progress movie, film that we watched? Anybody remember who he was? Does anybody remember what his problem was? Or are you ignorant on the subject? Does anybody remember who Ignatius was? Who was he, Grant? Well, possibly, because he was kind of ignorant. That was his name. Ignorance is the one that met Christian and Hopeful along the journey once, and then as they were arriving to Mount Zion, ignorance is the individual who was not concerned about entering in the straight gate. He wasn't concerned about having the proper certificate. Anybody remembering it now? To enter in to the gates of the city. He said, I've been good. I've been walking just like you've been walking. I've been doing the same thing. I'm sure when I get there, they'll let me in. Ignorant. Could have probably been titled Willful Ignorance, because Christian tried to tell him, Hopeful tried to tell him, you've got to have the certificate. You have got to enter in that wicked gate. And if you don't have the certificate, you get when you enter that gate, they will not let you in. He was warned several times. Oh, he wouldn't listen. I'll make it. So ignorant makes it all the way to the heavenly city. If you remember in the film, all smiles, thinking everything's fine. But he gets to that gate, knocks on that door, if you remember in the film, only to be sent to hell. Because he didn't enter in at the wicked gates. And he does not have the right certification of election. His great ignorance of the necessity and power of grace is his hamartia. And I don't think anybody in here knows what that word means, because I didn't. It means the fatal flaw leading to the downfall of a tragic hero. What was his fatal flaw? His ignorance when he was warned. His persisting in his ignorance when the truth was readily available. His ignorance that he was serving himself instead of serving Christ. Woo. Serving who? The Bible is very, very plain. God's word, God's truth. You're not going to be able to plead ignorance when you stand before God. I didn't know. And he'll take you to every time his word was brought to you. And he'll say, depart from me, ye workers of iniquity, for I never knew you. Ah, you see, it takes that intimate relationship with Jesus Christ, being that humble servant of my Lord and my Savior. Hallelujah. That I may know him and the power of his resurrection, a ship of its suffering. The reality of serving Christ, I know in whom I have believed. And I am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him. Hallelujah. You see, it's all our choice. It's all our action. It's all intentional, Brother Jason. It's all intentional, Brother Lucas and Sister Lindsay. It's all intentional. I choose who I am going to serve. I choose to serve the Lord. I choose to serve myself. Serving who? Stanley.